Blog Talk Radio.
Studies from 1998.
Would you like to read that? Well,
why don't you sign in on our other computer while I'm reading that? We'll change seats here, so.
I thought this was a frightening article, really, when you think of how much exposure we have to this stuff.
Right here. The latest edition of the peer-reviewed medical journal Brain Research reveals that aluminum-induced neural degeneration in rats is greatly enhanced when the animals were fed low doses of fluoride. The presence of fluoride enhanced the bioavailability of aluminum, causing more aluminum to cross the blood-brain barrier and become deposited in the brain. The aluminum level in the brains of the fluoride-treated group was double that of the controls. So why are we fluoridating our water supply, considering that the secret is out about the effectiveness or lack thereof of fluoride to prevent tooth decay, as referenced by the following report? How exactly is it that this potentially deadly combination has gone relatively unnoticed by the medical establishment? And probably the most important question of all is, why are we standing by and blindly accepting our poison without so much as a whimper? Fluoride dentist magic bullet is shooting blanks. And that article tells about this. Did you want to share this as well, Leo?
I think so, because I think it's critical.
Despite decades of water fluoridation in New York State, the Journal of the American Dental Association reports that emergency treatment for New York NYS toddlers' severe tooth decay has grown substantially in numbers and costs. Many require general anesthesia, reports the New York State Coalition Opposed to Fluoridation. Fluoridation is touted as an effective cavity preventive that will save money, but this study and others proves it's doing neither. In 72% of New York City's 25,622 children under 6 years old made cavity-related emergency dental visits from 2004 through 2008, and it tells how much it's grown. Total cost, $1.121 million in 2004, increased to $31.3 million in 2008, most borne by the taxpayers. So taxpayers are bearing the cost. The total cost, I think I misread that. The total cost was $121 million, but $18.5 million in 2004 increased to $31.3 million in 2008. There is a limited number of dentists willing to treat patients younger than six or accept Medicaid. The New York Department of Health Statistics reveal that even when water is fluoridated, cavity rates are extremely high in low-income third graders. For example, ...85% of low-income third graders have tooth decay in Wayne County. 74% of them are fluoridated. 83% in Ontario County, 61% fluoridated. 82% in Cayuga County, not fluoridated. And so on.
So they're showing basically that the same numbers of non-fluoridated and fluoridated are getting the same number of cavities.
So it's not doing anything.
So it's doing nothing.
Fluoridation not only fails New York State, but nationally children. The elderly and poor lack dental care. The General Accounting Office estimates that 6.5 million children aged 2 through 18 in Medicaid had untreated tooth decay. Oral health complications may be associated with adverse pregnancy outcomes, respiratory disease, cardiovascular disease, and diabetes. Annually, 164 million work hours and 51 million school hours are lost due to dental problems, according to the Institute of Medicine. Also, a 2008 study of the Armed Forces reveals 52% of new recruits had oral health problems needing urgent attention. The American economy is hurt by dentists' refusal to treat low-income Americans and by organized dentistry's lobbying to outlaw cheaper dental care by viable dental professionals such as dental therapists, says attorney Paul Bieber. Fluoridation is a false concept that must be abandoned. Past studies show that when fluoridation ceases, so do cavities. Cavity rates decreased 6 years after fluoridation was stopped in Kuopio, Finland. 7 years after fluoridation ended in La Salud, Cuba, cavity-free children increased dramatically. Following the cessation of water fluoridation in East German cities, Chemnitz and Plauen, a significant fall in cavity and caries prevalence was observed. After fluoridation ended in the East German cities, Spremberg and Zittau, cavities in 12-year-olds decreased significantly. During an 11-month fluoridation break in Durham, North Carolina, cavity rates remained stable, but dental fluorosis declined in children born during that period. In British Columbia, Canada, the prevalence of caries decreased over time in the fluoridation-ended community while remaining unchanged in the fluoridated community. In 1973, the Dutch town of Tiel stopped fluoridation. Decayed, missing, and filled surfaces dipped in 15-year-olds. So they're saying there's
a significant change in the...
Bieber says the Pew Charitable Trust continues to waste its resources promoting fluoridation in Iowa, Arkansas, Austin, and elsewhere with misinformation. However, we agree with their findings that support for community water fluoridation is soft, especially among the fluoridating groups, those who report being more knowledgeable of community water fluoridation. Research shows that fluoridation does not reduce cavities, but it possibly increases them. Yet we fluoridate our water, then spray aluminum from the sky to pollute the water, the soil, and the air. We unwillingly ingest the aluminum, take a nice cool drink of fluoridated water, and end up a few years down the road wondering where we misplaced our minds and our health. This is a two-part mix that leads to a crippling disease. Our brains and nervous systems are under attack, and we end up paying dearly for the privilege of being poisoned to death. Insane? Yes, but very real. Whether you believe we are being subjected to an international depopulation agenda or are simply hapless victims of reckless corporate greed, it's happening. You can't refute the facts. Aluminum plus fluoride equals Alzheimer's and dementia. The combination is deadly. They know it, I know it, and now you know it.
There you go.
Yeah.
And, I think we're going to talk a little bit about this tonight with James Russell and We Are Changed, and they're doing a seminar in Waterbury, Connecticut, on Agenda 21, which is the depopulation plan by the UN from 1992, and we found that it's happening everywhere now. The next thing that I wanted to talk about tonight was, since we're on that topic, Fukushima cover-up unravels the government. The government can no longer pull the wool over the public's eyes. I've talked about this last Tuesday. I believe we talked about the
radiation pouring into the Pacific.
Yeah, in the North Pacific,
mm-hmm.
The Pacific Northwest. And well, since they had all that rain and all that snow, that was carrying with it a huge amount of radiation. And of course, we haven't heard anything about that, other than the actual snow that fell. Too much radiation to cover up. And this is this is posted on globalresearch.ca. As I've pointed out since day one, the Japanese government and TEPCO have covered up the extent of the radiation released by Fukushima and its health effects on the Japanese and others. The New York Times notes, the government inspectors declared Onami's rice safe for consumption after testing just two of its 154 rice farms. Then more than a dozen farmers found unsafe levels of cesium. An ensuing panic forced the Japanese government to intervene with promises to test more than 25,000 rice farms in eastern Fukushima Prefecture, where the plant is located. The repeated failures have done more than raise concerns that some Japanese may have been exposed to unsafe levels of radiation in their food, as regrettable as that is. They have also had a corrosive effect on public confidence in the food monitoring effort, with a growing segment of the public and even many experts coming to believe that officials have understated or even covered up the true extent of the public health risk in order to limit both the economic damage and the size of potential compensation payments. Critics say the government can no longer pull the wool over the public's eyes, as they contend it has done routinely in the past. Since the accident, the government has tried to continue its business-as-usual approach of undertaking the severity of the accident. Understating the severity of the accident and insisting that it knows best, Mitsuru Fukawa, an economics professor at Keio University in Tokyo, who has written about the loss of trust in government, but the people are learning from the blogs, Twitters, and Facebook that the government food monitoring system is simply not credible. No one trusts the national government safety standards. And who farms, Ikomuto, 59, who farms organic mushrooms in Nahomatsu, 25 miles northwest of the Fukushima Daiichi plant. The Japanese Times reports the government buried a worst-case scenario for the Fukushima nuclear crisis that was drafted last March and kept it under wraps until the end of last year. Sources in the administration said Saturday. And after the document was shown to a small select group of senior government officials at the Prime Minister's office in late March, the administration of then Prime Minister Naoto Kan decided to quietly bury it, sources said. When the document was presented in March, a discussion ensued about keeping its existence secret. And in order to deny its existence, the government treated it as a personal document of Japan's Atomic Energy Commission, Shasuki Kondo, who authored it until the end of December. It was only then that it was actually recognized as an official government document. The content was so shocking that we decided to treat it as if it didn't exist, a government official said. And major Japanese broadcasters, NHK, purportedly stopped the reporter in mid-sentence on March 12th as he was discussing the exposure of the nuclear fuel rods above the cooling pool, telling him, "They say you mustn't read that draft." Finally, the economist Boing Boing noted that a Canadian journalist was grilled about who he spoke with at Fukushima and held, threatened, and shakedown for bribes before being detained without counsel for a phone call. He says he was eventually deported, though not before being ordered to sign a falsified confession and being treated by an official at gunpoint, threatened at gunpoint. So there's a serious, serious cover-up there going on, folks. And unfortunately, this article doesn't go far enough to talk about the effect that it's had worldwide. You know, the RNC, I wanted to talk about this briefly. The RNC resolution exposes Agenda 21. And this article is by the Republican, talks about the Republican National Committee that adopted a resolution. It has been reported that the Republican National Committee passed a resolution exposing Agenda 21 for what it is, a disregard for American freedom, private property rights, and a key player in the elite leftist move toward a one-world government. Agenda 21 assaults the very foundations of America. The RNC has not yet made an official statement or released the resolution. We call on the RNC to release this immediately, and we salute the individuals who signed the document. Do you want to read that?
Sure.
Okay. This is the resolution exposing United Nations Agenda 21.
It's kind of hard to see. Whereas the United Nations Agenda 21 is a comprehensive plan of extreme environmentalism, social engineering, and global political control that was initiated at the United Nations Conference on Environment and Development held in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil in 1992, and whereas the United Nations Agenda 21 is being covertly pushed into local communities throughout the United States of America through the International Council of Local Environment Initiatives, through local sustainable development policies such as smart growth, wildland projects, resilient cities, regional visioning projects, and other green or alternative projects, and whereas the United Nations Agenda 21 plan of radical so-called sustainable development views the American way of life, private property ownership, single-family homes, we had a little problem here with our other computer. Just a second. Leo's going to plug it in. We're all set. Single-family homes. Let me see where I am here. I lost my place. Private car ownership and individual travel choices and privately owned farms, all as destructive to the environment. And whereas the United Nations Agenda 21 policy, social justice is described as the right and opportunity of all people to benefit equally from the resources afforded us by society and the environment, which would be accomplished by socialist, communist redistribution of wealth. And whereas, according to the United Nations Agenda 21 policy, national sovereignty is deemed a social injustice. Now, therefore be resolved, the Republican National Committee recognizes the destructive and insidious nature of the United Nations Agenda 21 and hereby exposes to the public and public policy makers the dangerous intent of the plan. And therefore be it further resolved that the U.S. government and no state or local government is legally bound by the United Nations Agenda 21 Treaty, that it has never been endorsed by the U.S. Senate, and therefore be it further resolved that the federal, state, and local governments across the country be well informed of the underlying harmful implications of implementation of the United Nations Agenda 21 destructive strategies for sustainable development, and we hereby endorse rejection of its radical policies and rejection of any grant monies attached to it, and therefore be it further resolved that upon the approval of this resolution, the Republican National Committee shall deliver a copy of this resolution to each of the Republican members of Congress, all Republican candidates for Congress, all Republican candidates for president who qualify for RNC-sanctioned debates, and to each Republican state and territorial party office. Chief sponsor, let's see if I can find her, Helen Van Etten, Republican National Committee Woman for Kansas. Co-sponsor, Carolyn McLarty, Republican National Committee Woman for Oklahoma. Kim Lehman, Republican National Committee Woman for Iowa. Paul Reynolds, Republican National Committee for Alabama. Demetria DeMonte, Republican National...
You just say Republican from Alabama.
Yep. And then there's one for Solomon Yu from Oregon, Donna Kane from Oregon, Cindy Costa from South Carolina, and then there's Delaware, Iowa, Tennessee, Indiana, Arizona, and Nebraska. Not one New England state.
No, and you know, but, well, there's no New England senators, or except what's his name, Brown in Massachusetts, that's a Republican. But, you know, it's interesting, though, that there
that's
are no,
a good point.
Yeah. But it's interesting. This is all Republican-sponsored bill, okay? But the what fascinated me is if anybody understands they pretty much stated it in that bill, what the Agenda 21 was,
mm-hmm.
sustainable development. But what it was an agreement or a treaty that was signed by 188 countries, I believe.
Yep.
To move toward this. It was done. It was put out in 1992, and regarding the how to corral the world, basically, and
To limit population.
To limit population and to...
human beings are a hazard to the environment,
right.
Basically.
And also to socialize, you know, the entire world, one world government, you know, that kind of thing. So it's really quite frightening. We got about 5 minutes before we bring up our...
Now, who was president at that time?
Clinton, in 1992.
So he would
have...
Carter?
It depends when it was done. No,
1992
was... it was still Bush. He took over in...
I was thinking...
Bush Sr.
Yeah.
And Clinton took over in 93.
So who would have signed that?
George Bush Sr.
Senior. Biggest, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Goes right along with
globalist.
His... Yeah, the ultimate one.
Yeah, and a Republican. Okay, but he was the ultimate. And, you know, so... Anyway... And we've come a long way toward the achievement of that horrible goal. And finally, somebody in the Republican Party is talking about it.
Well, that's excellent that people are talking about it.
This is the last one that we bring to Johnny up. John Brennan will be coming up shortly. But this one is India to pay gold instead of dollars for Iranian oil.
Now, this was kind of fascinating.
Yeah, India is to pay gold instead of dollars for Iranian oil. The oil and gold market stunned. DEPCA file, which is the DEPCA file exclusive report, tags India, China sanction Iranian oil, European Union. DEPCA file is an Israeli intelligence file.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, where most of their stuff is posted. All right, it's like their CIA file. Iranian oil for India. India is the first buyer of Iranian oil to agree to pay for its purchases in gold instead of U.S. dollar. DEPCA files intelligence and Iranian sources report exclusively. Those sources expect China to follow suit. India and China take about 1 million barrels a day, or 40% of Iran's total exports of 2.5 million barrels per day. Both are superpowers in terms of gold assets. By trading in gold, New Delhi and Beijing enable Tehran to bypass the upcoming freeze on its central bank's assets and the oil embargo, which the
European
Union's foreign minister agreed to impose. Monday, January 23rd, and the EU currently buys around 20% of Iran's oil exports. The vast sum involved in these transactions are expected, furthermore, to boost the price of gold and depress the value of the dollar on world markets. So see, folks, this is what's going on here. This is a major economic war. And our friends, China and India, are taking part of it.
Yep.
Iran's second largest customer after China,
India,
purchased about $12 billion a year worth of Iranian crude, or about 12% of its consumption. Delhi is to execute its transactions, according to our sources, through two state-owned banks, the Calcutta-based UCO Bank, whose board of directors is made up of Indian government and Reserve Bank of India representatives, and Halk Bankasi People's Bank, Turkey's seventh largest bank, which is owned by the government.
Turkey?
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah, I'm surprised.
An Indian delegation visited Tehran last week to discuss payment options in view of the new sanctions. The two sides were reported to have agreed that payment for the oil purchase would be partly in yen and partly in rupees. The switch to gold was kept dark. India thus joins China in opting out of the U.S.-led European sanctions against Iran's international oil and financial business. Turkey announced publicly last week that it would not adhere to any sanctions against Iran's nuclear program unless they were imposed by the United Nations Security Council. The EU decision of Monday banned the signing of new oil contracts with Iran at once, while phasing out existing transactions by July 1, 2012, when the European embargo, like the measure enforced by the United States, becomes total. The European foreign ministers also approved a freeze on the assets of the Central Bank of Iran, which handles all of the country's oil transactions. However, the damage those sanctions caused the Iranian economy will be substantially cushioned by the oil deals to be channeled through Turkish and Indian state banks, China, for its part, has declared its opposition to sanctions against Iran.
Now, you see, the interesting thing is Turkey and India are our allies.
Yeah. Debka Files intelligence source discloses that Tehran has set up alternative financial mechanisms with China and Russia for getting paid for its oil in currencies other than the U.S. dollar. Both Beijing and Moscow are keeping the workings of those mechanisms top secret. They're forming their own banks.
Yeah. So therefore,
and gold is a worldwide.
And you see, and that is exactly
hard
why.
Currency.
But that's exactly why the U.S. wants to go to war with Iran.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because Iran is
undermining financial stability.
That's correct. That's correct.
Well, and they can't go to war with China and India.
No, but that's exactly what they're planning to do because those are Iran's allies. They need Iran's oil far more than they need our borrowing their money.
Yeah,
which is essentially what they're doing. And I'm going to contact our
John Brennan,
friend John Brennan,
who is going to come on to talk about things in the environment, maybe some chemtrails, maybe some other
he's bringing up an interesting stuff tonight.
Is he going to talk about the sounds?
Yes, and I think that'll be exciting. Let's see. Hey, John, are you with us? Hello, John. Johnny? I don't understand why he's... Hello, John. Can you hear us? Shows that he's on the line here. But let's try it one more time here. Line dropped. Okay, something happened there. So.
Did it ring?
Oh, he was in the screen room.
There he is. No, that's you?
No.
The person you have dialed can't take your call now. At the tone, please record your message. When you have finished recording, simply hang up or press the pound key for further options.
Hey, John, it's Leo. Call into the show, please. I don't know what happened here. Thanks.
Did you tell him you were going to call?
Yeah. So I'm not sure what's going on here.
That's sort of odd.
It's 567 number, isn't it?
Oh, I don't know what his number is.
It's 5. Which rule is 567?
Oh, I have no idea.
You don't know. I'm pretty sure.
Oh, I couldn't comment on that. If you want to go down and check his number.
Why don't I do that? And
pull up an article.
Okay, why don't you do that? That's George.
Oh, okay.
Okay, you want to read this one? Here, read this one, a nice one.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no, this is better, the Romney one.
Oh, yeah, that's a very good one.
Okay.
I'll read that one.
And for some reason, John's phone's not working here, so I'm going to check it here.
Why don't you check
it? And in the
number?
Meantime, Lila's going to read this this article.
I hope. If it comes up.
Yep.
Romney-supervised medical testing company guilty of massive Medicare fraud.
Can you put the cat down there and you can do this? Oh, okay, it's two pages.
Yeah, I read this, so.
Okay.
In 1989, Bain Capital purchased controlling interest in Damon Corporation, a medical testing company located in Needham, Massachusetts. During the time that Bain held its ownership of the company, Mitt Romney personally sat on the board of directors. And during the same period, Damon Corporation was busy submitting fraudulent reimbursement claims to Medicare to the tune of millions of dollars charged for unnecessary blood tests. According to federal government prosecutors, Damon was misleading physicians into ordering unnecessary blood tests, assuring the doctors that the testing would be covered by Medicare, By the time Damon Corporation pleaded guilty to defrauding the United States government of $20 million and paid a total of $119 million in what was, at the time, the largest penalty of its kind in Massachusetts history, Bain was long gone, having sold the company in 1993 to Corning Incorporated. Inasmuch as neither Romney nor Bain was ever implicated in fraud, it would be reasonable to conclude that while the illegal activity was going on under Mr. Romney's nose, Romney would himself bear only some responsibility for perhaps not being on top of things, as one might hope for a company's director to be. But according to Romney, such a conclusion would be wrong. When Mitt Romney was confronted with the matter during his campaign to become governor of Massachusetts, Romney acknowledged that he did have some awareness of the funky things going on at Damon. So then the future governor and candidate for the party's nomination to run for the presidency did fulfill his obligation as a great American and did report the fraud to proper authorities, right? Apparently not.
Okay.
Let's see what happened here.
Johnny is on the line there with... Good evening, John. Are you with us?
Yes, I'm here waiting. How's it going, Leo? How's it going, Lila?
Sorry, I tried to call you, but an answering machine picked up or something.
Yeah, no, the phone was accidentally left off the hook here on my side in the other room. Sorry about that.
Okay, John, if you just give me a minute, I just need to finish up this.
Yes, certainly. Go ahead.
According to the court records, Damon executive scheme continued throughout Bain's ownership, and prosecutors credited Corning, not Romney, with cleaning up the situation. So, another shocker, while the company eventually went bankrupt with thousands losing their jobs, Bain Capital walked away with $12 million in profit, a little over $400,000 of that money ending up in Mitt's pocket. Expect to hear a lot more about this in the coming days as AFSCME, the American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees, has spent close to $1 million in advertising buys throughout the state of Florida to highlight this misadventure.
And
he's a great flip-flopper, that Romney.
There's one thing that he mentioned, that Romney indicated that he was involved in conducting an investigation while he was on a board of directors. He said that he was completely unaware of any investigation.
Yeah. So he was, and then he wasn't, and he wasn't. That's
kinda,
typical
kinda
Romney
weird.
Fashion. So,
but strange.
Also, it seems in typical Romney fashion, money ends up in his pocket.
Yeah, $20 million a year right now is what it says. So, hey, Johnny, how are you? Sorry to...
Very well there. It just reminds me when I hear you talking about these people like Romney. The only time they tell lies, most of these politicians, is when they move their lips.
Oh, absolutely.
Well, I think you're right about that, John.
If anybody thinks that the voting in the new savior is going to help things, I'm afraid you better realize the New World Order is set up a little different.
Yeah, which is they have a new savior every couple of weeks, so.
Yeah.
So who knows?
Yeah. Obama was the big savior, and now this guy is the big savior. The savior is coming to help you, and they'll find out then, oh, we can't do what we said. Not our fault. It's the last guy's fault. That's the way it works. So I take most of it now with a grain of salt and just realize that we're just slaves. And unless we do something about it in a big way, we have to just take the shaft, basically. That's all. Nothing else we can do about it. Anyway, I won't give those politicians any more time. We'll get into something more interesting. It's a little bizarre. And I don't know if a lot of the listeners have heard about, you know, obviously people have heard of the chemtrails and stuff like that. Those are physically visible, and we know it's a geoengineering project, weather modification related. And the latest strange thing that has been all over the Twitter, it's all over the internet pages, has even been on some mainstream media, so it's not some sort of a weird conspiracy theory. In fact, almost the entire population of Costa Rica has heard this weird sound in the sky because it was some big event on there, like a national football game or something. I forget what it was in Costa Rica.
You know, they actually heard it at a baseball game in our country, too.
Yeah, down in Florida, I believe.
Florida, yeah.
Yeah, so it's not just a few people who are junkies on drugs or a few junks or call it terrorists or whatever they tried to do. This is real, and it's happening all around the world. And maybe I'll give a few samples of some of these sounds that we're actually hearing. You know, I just lost some of my weird sounds. But here's, I think this is the one here from Russia. So let's just play up this one and see as an example what we're talking about. Now, have you heard this sound in the late evening? That's just the police walkie-talkie in the foreground. Very, very odd sound. Ignore the voice, the guy. It's the background noise. This is heard
the
miles around.
Do you have the Costa Rica one?
Pardon me?
Do you have the one from Costa Rica?
Yeah, I can probably bring that up for you in a second now. And we just,
the other one from Canada was very strong, too. That was very powerful.
Yeah, the one from Canada, I'm trying to bring it up right here now. Well, we'll leave that one play for a second while I bring up the others. I had them all ready to bring down here. I changed the size of my print online, and all of a sudden they seemed to have got rid of what I had queued up to play for you. Here's Canada Workers. Let's play this one here now. If we can shut the other one off. All right, here's the one in Canada now, I believe. Nope, we have lost that one. Okay, we're going to try that again. Nope, we've lost that completely again. Hold on, we must go back to Strange Sounds in Canada. Let's see what we got here. Sorry about this, I had it all, here it is. Yeah, this was in Conklin, Alberta, Canada.
Yeah.
20th of December. What I'm seeing on screen here on the video is there's a number of, they look like your state workers with their reflective jackets. They're out in the forest, the snowy forest, and they're just looking up, freaking out. What is this abnormal noise? Like something out of Jurassic Park or something for all the world, you know. You start hearing this outside your house, the dogs freak out, you know. There. And the guys, the workers here almost look white with fright at the sound of this. I mean, it's definitely. Here's a little thing here now I'm going to play. I found the one from Costa Rica. So let's see what we have from Costa Rica.
That was the
sound of the apocalypse. It's the introduction in Spanish. So they're probably going to play us right now. Here's the sounds coming. Sounds like a giant footprint or something.
Sonidos muy similares a este son los que cientos de personas aseguran haber escuchado pasada la medianoche de este lunes. Durante la mañana, Facebook y Twitter se convirtieron en los lugares donde muchos quisieron encontrar respuesta a la pregunta.
Obviously, the Spanish newscaster there is telling it was all over Facebook and Twitter, so it's not just conspiracy theorists.
You by any chance have the baseball game one or the? That one was really, because that had a, that was by a, they had a reporter, English reporter, American reporter, and they were in the box, their box, And they were saying, geez, what a sound that is, and what a weird sound, they were saying. And then they closed the door, you know. But
do you have any explanation for these sounds, John?
Well, you know, for a number of years, they've been hearing these sounds around the world, you know, different spots. 2007, they started hearing them all the way up. You know, there's been sporadic reports. People probably didn't believe the people are told it was just hoaxed. Well, now we're in 2012, and yet again it's happening, only this time it's loud, and this time it's powerful, and it's extra kind of scary and creepy. And it has, you know, this real metallic type of grinding noise. Some of them have a trumpet kind of sound. And it's actually almost like a sound of, have you ever heard those war movies when the submarine is being, they're dropping the depth charges and the submarine goes down deeper than it's supposed to, and the whole submarine starts creaking and the whole metallic shape starts to break up. It's almost like that sort of sound that we've heard sort of from, you know, the movies. And it's, you know, it's not an identical sound being heard around, but it is very similar. And now there are people summarizing that it's a prelude to a major earthquake. And, you know, that's a very good theory, but there's a kind of a problem with that, because when we had the 8.5 or, you know, the 9.5 or whatever it was, and those were earthquakes. There was one in Chile last year, another one in Haiti. Well, there was no trace of any of these sounds. And, you know, historically, there hasn't been any sort of a, you know, precedent. They've had colors and strange colors in the sky, yes. Whether that's to do with the harp signatures causing that, we don't know. I think it probably is. So that's that kind of ruled out the window. So we don't know what else. So we could speculate, really. Is it UFOs, people have said? You know, there's been an unusual amount of sightings of UFOs that have been paralleling this whole phenomena. Being reports of those are going up as well. So I don't know if that's connected at all. You know, is it in the Bible prophecies? People have talked about this too. And then there's, you know, most of us who are interested in the subject of the Zionist Rothschild One World Government have heard about the rumors, elite plans for like an ET invasion. I think it was Ronald Reagan even had spoke about that. Many people have probably seen that clip on YouTube. Just type in Ronald Reagan speaks. It was before the United Nations, I believe, about how an alien invasion would bring the whole world together. And there's been other, I don't know, was Brzezinski had talked about it as well in one of his books, maybe the Between Two Ages. And anyway, basically this invasion would create sort of a they did create a fake stampede to sheep into the to create the people to go like sheep into the arms of the Illuminati of the New World Order. They them for help, you know. So you've probably heard about the Project Bluebeam plans, which have been around for about 25 years, and this is where they'd be able to project onto the false sky, which they've used the chemtrails to create. We have mostly cloud cover all over the world now. You know, it's a grayer sky. Certainly, there's enough particulate in there that they can beam a battle going on, just like it'd be on your television screen. It's not real, but now the sound effects can go along with it. Maybe
there's... this one here is really interesting.
Yeah, go ahead, play it.
Yeah, the thing was is that go into your computer, you know, any browser, and just put up strange sounds in the sky, all right? And man, it's flooded with them. And this one is this one's a short one, but it's it says strange sounds in the sky, and it says this was recorded during during a meteor shower, right? Yeah. There, I'll turn it off.
It's coming from everywhere.
Direction. hear the crickets in the background there. But
you notice that in all of them, there's birds or crickets or something.
Well, because it's outdoors,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I think it's, another thing is because it's agitating the crickets.
Wait, I play. I have another one lined up here. This is from Poland. Now, I thought this one was particularly weird. This, if you woke up in the, this is probably looking at the sky and the time of day. It looks like it's about 4 o'clock in the evening. When you leave, if you heard this sound, would it be normal? There's a guy walking through his garden, just like you would. A little bit of snow on the ground. It does sound rather like trumpets, you know. If I heard this, I'm walking around my garden. He's just walking. You hear the guy shuffling along. He's not making this. He's got his video camera. He's looking left and right, wondering what the heck is this. You hear the guy just walking along. Now wait till you hear this. No special effects. He's out in the back garden of his house. That's definitely a little freaky. You know, he's out in the countryside area, no factories around. This normally doesn't happen. And all of a sudden, this noise is appearing. People in Louisiana have heard similar sounds. Kiev, Costa Rica, England, you know, it's just definitely...
it's nuts, yeah, it really is.
People can deny the chemtrail existence, but I don't know if they can deny their ears. If they will deny their eyes, that's okay, I suppose. They can deny everything they want, but this will probably get worse before it gets better. It might just vanish, I suppose. I don't think it's an internet hoax. It is a possibility, but looking at that particular video there, the one from Poland, you could just tell that the guy was, the movements of the camera were very amateurish, and he was, you know, he's picking up, his footprints were in this ground were being picked up by the microphone at about the same pitch as it was picking up that background noise. It sounded like it was coming from the heavens itself. I mean, I don't know what to tell you, what it sounded like coming over a, you know, a telephone conversation, but.
One of the articles I pulled up on it just says that Google search for strange sound has skyrocketed for the query strange sounds. Some say that the hum is the sign of Jesus' return. Others say it's related to weather wars, chemtrails, and is a sign that the earth is troubled. I myself have not heard the hum, but I'm sure if I did, that I would definitely be kind of freaked out and would be looking for some type of explanation. YouTube videos of eyewitness accounts have gathered information on various theories for the strange sounds that even news stations have reported, and ABC, Huffington Post, Canadian news stations. And it says, here's what some people are saying that the strange sound sounds like. And it says, it sounds like hell opening up. That's true, in a way, isn't it?
Well, depends on what you...
The earth is crying.
Yeah, I agree.
Sounds to me like the cavern of the earth spirit, or whatever it's called, where the monks live and listen to the earth. I have been saying it sounds like giant metal gates opening. That's true too, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Yeah.
Yeah, it sounds like the wind and air escaping a giant valve. It sounds like it's dumped from the Godzilla soundtrack. It gives one a feeling of eerie uneasiness when you hear it. Sounds like dinosaurs. There you go. And these sounds are exactly like the sounds of huge machinery and lots of metal gears. It's true, isn't it? It sounds like metal gears. It sounds like trumpets. It sounds like brass or metal of some sort, you know?
Well, you remember I was saying about the, you know, the harp and the Project Bluebeam. Here's an interesting statement. This statement was made by somebody you'll know, and this was probably made back in the 1990s. I think it was 1991. Today, America would be outraged if UN troops entered Los Angeles to restore order. Tomorrow, they'll be grateful. This is especially true if we were told that they were an outside threat from beyond, that is, an extraterrestrial invasion, whether real or promulgated, and threatened our very existence. It is then that all peoples of the world will plead to deliver them from this evil. The one thing every man fears is the unknown. When with this scenario, individual rights will be willingly relinquished for the guarantee of the well-being granted to them by the world government. This was said by Dr. Henry Kissinger at the Bilderberg Conference in Evian, France in 1991. So it isn't me talking about these possibility of faked alien invasion or real alien invasion. I don't know. I'm just telling you folks what's out there. The sounds are definitely for real. Who's doing them? I don't know. Is it Mother Earth? Mother Earth being tampered by man, causing this resonance in the atmosphere? They tampered with the weather. Maybe there's always unintended consequences. They've admitted that. Maybe this is what they're seeing. Is it the pole shift, the ice breaking up, and we're hearing a type of a sound that's kicking off the atmosphere from the North and South Pole as this happens? I don't know. We'll know by the end of 2012, probably.
There was a guy wrote that he heard it, Miami, Florida. And he said, "You heard the rumble back in August of 2011. Mm-hmm. He said, "At first I thought it was an airplane, but after it lasted more than 2 minutes, I began to get nervous. He said, "I swear I thought we were about to be attacked by a missile or something."
Mm-hmm.
And another guy said it sounded like a space shuttle was taking off, but it had somehow frozen mid-flight. Other things like that. It all was so... everyone was shocked. Those people that really witnessed this... Well, I'm going to ask people to go to the site, by the way. I might have some explanation. It's called Hub Pages. All right? H-U-B Pages. And they got an article on the strange sounds and weird noises.
On one spot that they had, they said not only weird noises, but vibrations. Did you read anything about vibrations?
Well, you mentioned, yeah, my next thing here is I've got a number of different things that people have suggested it might be. And one of them was the sound is due to the breakdown of interdimensional barriers. Some people have heard these sounds for years, and people who are psychic particularly have picked up on these. So I would tend to think that's a little unusual. It definitely frightens dogs and animals too.
It does?
Yeah, it does. They've been noticed. There's one or two of the videos are showing the dogs getting really frightened. Other people have said, could these eerie sounds be the inspiration for the biblical trumpets lore? You know, when God came down on top of Mount Sinai, it says in Exodus 19:16, "And it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mount, and the voice of the trumpet exceeding loud, so that all the people that was in the camp trembled." And then in Exodus 20:18, it says, "All the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise of the trumpet," which it does sound trumpet-like in some cases there, you know, "and the mountain was smoking.
Yeah.
And when the people saw it, they removed and stood far off." Maybe it's the Lord's way of, or whoever you choose your Savior to be, is, let's just say it's the Earth's way of waking people up, maybe. Let's see, another guy wrote in, he said, "I looked and I listened, and all I can surmise is someone or something is activating the resonant electromagnetic acoustic cavity of the earth, much like a semi-filled wine glass. When you dip your finger in the water or wine and you run it smoothly around the lip of the glass, as you know, given ionization, you can make a flame become a loudspeaker, a nice one, with a low system hysteresis." Well, looking at the varying weather conditions in these videos, from stratified overcast to rain to early morning frost and pre-dawn dew deposition, etc., the conditions in which local differentiation in-state changing is occurring, one can imagine layers upon layers of varying electronic conductivity or varying capacitance adjacent one another, making them more susceptible to modulation at their interfaces by what might be basically either. Now, that doesn't make a lot of sense. It's kind of technical there. You know, he's talking about how the sound waves interact.
I'd say it's coming from the earth, John, you know, and not from the sky.
Yeah, people have said that, but unfortunately, that really doesn't carry a whole lot of water, because we would have had some reports of somebody nearby who would have been close enough to feel it vibrating them at ground level. There'd be no reports of it whatsoever on ground level. So it is coming from up above, whether it's from the sky, I don't know, but it does not appear to be emitting from below to, I suppose it's hard to really prove that, but the reports all over the world, everybody's looking upwards to the sound.
One guy said, the roar of solar wind, the holes in our magnetosphere.
Mm-hmm.
Earth is moving, it would explain quakes, volcanoes, weird weather, and sounds. Maybe we were jarred more from Japan's quake, January, than we were told. Some guys blaming it on chemtrails. They're stating that some people believe it might be that.
John, do you think that these sounds are more likely to be artificially created, sort of like chemtrails are artificially created?
It's possible that they could be artificially created. A lot of those towers that we see that we thought were electronic towers, let's say the cell phone towers.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of towers that are around that are, we were told they were for various other reasons, I'm trying to remember the name of what they called them now. It's not a jeepers. No, I'm not even going to try and remember. There's so many of these masts anyway. They're all along the highways. Some people have suggested that those were set up as a type of a speaker system, that in the event that they ever did do a fake alien invasion, this would be the sound that would be added. The way those Bose speakers are very tiny but can emit a huge sound?
Yep.
It's sort of on the same thing as that. If you had planted these in advance, especially near city areas,
mm-hmm.
And even in forest areas, there'd be no problem doing it. They don't have to be huge speakers. So it is possible that, you put them inside a mountain in a cave in a defunct volcano. You could show the sound into the atmosphere. And then if they do some sort of a fake alien invasion, there's your sound effects right away. And maybe they're just running tests.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know. I mean, the thing is, the Project Bluebeam was designed for a reason. The spiral that was seen in, I think it was over Sweden there last year.
Right.
If they had added sound effects, then you'd really have some hell of a show. You know what I mean? You put the two and two.
Well, here's another thing from Revelation. It says they had breastplates like breastplates of iron, and the sound of their wings was like the thundering of their horses, of many horses and chariots rushing into battle. Right?
Mm-hmm.
This is what they were hearing. That what they're saying, well, you'll hear in the sky. You know, it's pretty bizarre. Just trying to think that there's so many things there.
The name of those towers, they're called Gwen Tower, G-W-E-N, Ground Wave Electronic Towers, or something, I don't know, G-W-E-N, you can look that up. What those towers, they were supposed to be, for emergency communications. But, in this days of satellites, everything's wireless anyway. You don't really need, they can just beam it straight down from a satellite, from one army base to another. They don't need those transmitters, at a local level, like 4 or 5 miles apart. They don't need them. So what are they? I don't know. All I know is there's been these massive winter storms on both sides of the United States in the last few weeks, and,
Well, there's one guy, there's one possible scientific thing that was published here on it, John.
Yeah?
Earth gives off a relentless hum of countless notes, completely imperceptible to the human ear, like a giant,
mm-hmm.
exceptionally quiet symphony. But the origin of this sound remains a mystery. Now, unexpected powerful tunes have been discovered in this hum, and these new findings could shed light on the source of this enigma. The planet emanates a constant rumble far below the limits of human hearing. And even when the crowd or the ground isn't shaking from an earthquake, it does not cause the ringing in the ear linked with tinnitus. This sound, first discovered a decade ago, is one that only scientific instruments, seismometers, can detect.
Mm-hmm.
Researchers call it the Earth's hum.
This is the Schumann resonance, they call it, I believe.
Yeah, but investigators suspect this murmur could originate from the churning ocean or perhaps the rolling atmosphere. To find out more, scientists analyzed readings from an exceptionally quiet Earth-listening research station at Black Forest Observatory in Germany. They tried to get the tried to figure it out, but they're saying that this might have been magnified. This resonance
sound, yeah,
might be coming magnified by the I mean, look what happened to these tornadoes that hit Alabama yesterday, or all the strange things that are going on weather-wise around the world.
Yeah, daffodils flowering in Ireland in January.
Yeah, there you go.
After
a really?
Hard winter.
Daffodils. What did you just, daffodils
yeah.
flowering now?
Yeah, in Dublin, 2 weeks ago.
They got it the same kind of weather we do.
Freaky.
Strange, really strange, really strange.
Oh, but, really?
Maybe HAARP has found a way to make it resonate louder.
Well, it's either, it sounds like the planet's under some kind of stress from man-made technology or nature, or they're trying to scare us with the Project Bluebeam technology, or it's real to ETs, or it's the pending planet pole shift that we've talked about, the 2012, or everything is shifting to a higher frequency plane, or the biblical trumpets will find out soon enough, I suppose, you know.
Well, here's an article, Johnny, that I was going to mention tonight, but I don't know if you must have seen it. But they say the strongest solar storm since 2005 is now hitting the Earth.
Mm-hmm.
It's bombarding Earth with radiation from the biggest solar storm in more than 6 years, and more to come from the fast-moving eruptions.
You know, I had an interesting thought about that today. Interesting that story would be released. I mean, the sun's been blasting out huge plumes at the Earth forever. And, you know, the radiation from Fukushima, that story kind of got played down. Now they might say, oh, the radiation from the solar blast of the sun has caused massive radiation problems here. That's where you all are radiated from. And that'll take away from what happened in Fukushima. That it all drifted over us here and... You know,
well, they're saying that this thing happened. It says the solar flare occurred at about 11 p.m. Eastern Sunday, which was yesterday, and 2 days ago, and will hit Earth in three different effects at three different times. The biggest issue is radiation. There you go, John.
Yeah, that was what I thought. They're going to use it as an excuse.
Yeah, according to the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration Space Weather Station predictions.
No bigger liars in the world than NASA.
Yeah, and irradiation is mostly a concern for satellite disruption and astronauts in space. It can cause communication problems for polar traveling airplanes Space Weather Center physics. A physicist, Doug Bexler, said radiation from Sunday's flare arrived on Earth an hour later, and will likely continue through Wednesday. And levels are considered strong, but other storms have been more severe. There are two higher levels of radiation and NOAA storm scale, severe and extreme.
So they mentioned radiation a lot.
Yeah, and still this storm is the strongest for radiation since May 2005. Radiation in the form of protons came flying out of the sun at 93 million miles per hour. All right, but you know, the weird thing about that is that it coincides with the it's dated today's date, Sunday. When did they? I think it was this week or this weekend. Maybe it was last weekend. I'm not sure. No. That huge storm hit the West Coast. Remember?
Yes.
All right. Now, that was when they predicted that huge wave of radiation to come in with that precipitation as well, right? And so I'm wondering, this is funny how this coincides with that, you know, this information with that information. You're absolutely right, John.
Yeah, and it's interesting that radiation from the nuclear industry course, NPR loves the nuclear industry. They would say anything about it. Radiation is good for you. You should have it with your cornflakes. Anything that happens from Fukushima or Three Mile Island, those type of incidents, there's no problem. It's fixed. But radiation from the sun, now that could kill you. You see, I have a problem with that kind of reporting.
Mm-hmm.
One kind of radiation is safe and one isn't, because they love the nuclear industry, and it's powerful, and it's so big, it's bigger than big oil almost. And they're not.
Oh, yeah, you're right. It's so manipulated. The media manipulates us so well.
The story about the radiation from the sun makes me think that very soon we're going to start maybe finding out, now that a year or so has gone by since the Fukushima case, they won't be able to cover it up anymore. And they blame it on, not the nuclear power plant, the sun. How convenient.
Right, the sun now. Yeah, who can blame the sun, right?
Yeah.
Well, anyway, John, I got to let you go because we got a. Do you know Jim Russell? With We Are Change in Connecticut.
Jim Russell. I probably have met Jim. If he's on, I'd like to say
hello. Because he's going to talk a little bit about that thing coming up on Saturday.
Where they're talking about Agenda 21.
Did you hear about that?
I know of Agenda 21. I know a lot about it. I've listened to Dr. Radio Liberty for years, and he's mentioned.
No, he's got one of the John Birch guys coming down to give a talk on Agenda 21.
Mm-hmm. In Waterbury.
On Saturday.
The first question I would stand up and ask a person from the John Birch Society is, what's your take on what happened on September 11th? It'd be my litmus test.
Well, no, they. You know, I've asked those Birchers. I've done interviews with the Birch guys, and they think it was an inside job too. You know?
Yeah, well, they had a video out called 11th, a closer look, and it was a very good video. But I wanted to make sure all of them think in unison before I would have much interest in what they say. That's only my personal opinion. Most of the stuff they do is pretty good, and that needs to be talked about, especially Agenda 20.
Hey, why don't you come down and join us? I think Lila and I are going to, I know John and Jan are going to be there.
Where is this taking place now?
It's on Grand Street in Waterbury.
And what time? And what day, sir?
2:00. If you go to their website, We Are Change Connecticut.
Okay.
All that information is right on there.
And he's going to be on in just a couple of minutes to talk about it, so stay tuned.
Yeah, if you want to hang on there, or you can
online.
The computer.
Yeah.
So, but I've got to go, and I've got a call in there in just 1 second.
Okay. But, well, it's been nice being on your show again. So I hope we got people interested in. We didn't want to frighten anybody, but it is what it is, folks. There's weird things going on around us. It's almost too weird. I'd rather there was something else to talk about, like postage stamps or something, you know. But I don't make up this stuff that's coming across the world. And,
John, we appreciate the report tonight.
And hang with us while we talk to the We Are Change guy.
I will. I'll listen online, maybe.
Okay, good.
Okay.
I'll just put you on hold, and then I'm going to dial him up, okay?
Okay.
Hang on a second. And we're gonna call our next guest, who is Jim Russell, and he's with the We Are Change group,
Connecticut.
And I think I'm, no, it's not right. Sorry, John. I'm just going to I have to put this one here. Go here.
Oh, you know what? You called out on our phone to John. That's why.
No, I didn't.
Oh, no. Okay.
No, I didn't. No. Okay. Yeah, I did, but he's still there.
Okay.
His line is still there.
You've got a line now can call.
So I'm going to go here. Right, and then I have to call Jim.
Yeah.
So hang on for a second.
Hang on,
here,
folks, while we call Jim from Russell. Jim Russell from We Are Change in Connecticut, and he's going to tell us a bit about what's going to happen on Grand Street in Waterbury on Saturday. He's going to talk about his guest, John Birch Society, and they're going to talk about Agenda. A little preview of what might happen.
Hello.
Hey, Jim, how are you?
Hey, Leo, how are you doing today?
Good. Thanks for being on.
Hi,
oh, thanks for calling.
Lila, too. How are you?
Hey, how you been?
I've been fine. We're glad you could be on our show. And,
yeah, I'm enjoying.
Tell us a little bit what's going to happen on Saturday in Waterbury. You have a big guest coming.
Yeah, we actually invited the John Birch Society and the Oath Keepers to come down and speak about the Agenda 21 movement that's been going on in this country. And it's pretty interesting because I was actually invited to the one in Southington a couple months ago. And I went with a couple members of the group and Veronica from Connecticut Skywatch. And she's gotten really involved with it. That's who invited me to go. And it was pretty interesting. They actually did it at the Southington Police Department, which was pretty interesting. I was afraid I was going to get locked up before we even got there. But that actually wasn't the case. It was a real cool setting, and they had a lot of Patriot Movement groups there, and they were all representing themselves, and they spoke about, like I said, the Agenda 21 movement. And I was hoping to do that in Waterbury, so I actually had the opportunity, and I invited all the aldermen of Waterbury, and I invited the mayor. I actually got my return on that today, actually, and you already know where that goes. That was a deny. They won't be able to make the event, and I was asking if any of their aides could, and there must be this huge meeting this weekend that everybody needs to attend. So the hope and change that Mr. O'Leary spoke on his campaign trail kind of is varying to the Obama agenda with the hope and change that he said also. Now, I was hoping that we can get at least an aide or a member of the mayor administration.
Who sponsored the thing in Southington?
It was, what was the name of the organization? It was the Oath Keepers and the Centennial Patriot Alliance. I'm sorry, the Connecticut Patriot Alliance.
Oh, wow.
They were actually the ones that I think started that, and they invited the Oath Keepers, and the Oath Keepers also were another host, and they invited the John Birch Society, which the John Birch Society has been focusing on this a lot. And I was actually talking to Hal the other day, and I was asking him, my question was, what's your response to this? What's your feedback on the representatives that you are speaking with? And he told me that he's getting a very positive feedback, and he's actually getting invited to speak at big events now. He's going to Tennessee. He's going all over the East Coast speaking on behalf of the John Birch Society pertaining to the Agenda 21 movement. And it's like I said, he's getting good vibes, which is a good thing. I guess that's a good positive thing. I'm actually hoping that we can get a couple of our members of the city to come. So I invited all the aldermen. So I'm hoping that one of them will show. I mean, at least one. That's all we need is one of them to be informed. And
I wanted to, as we read an article earlier tonight on the show, the Republican National Committee adopts a resolution exposing Agenda 21. And
I was actually seeing that today. I saw an article like that. Someone emailed me saying it's true.
Yeah. And I was shocked that the Republicans did, but then I started thinking, well, maybe that's why, that's being not sponsored, but at least pushed by the John Birch Society,
Maybe they got the movement of it.
They're very tight with the Republican Party, And,
I remember we were talking about that earlier today, and that's an interesting thing, and these ties are deep, and I'm just wondering, I just hope that the people wake up and really find out what's really the truth going on in this country, that, we are pretty much slaves in every aspect of our lives. And not only are we slaves, but now they're taking our property and our land, our national land. Now, I was actually talking to some of the people about these greenways that they're putting throughout the country. And I wasn't able to make the event in Beacon Falls because before the Southington event, there was an event in Beacon Falls at the high school. And we have video of it, not a lot of it, And the video, and if you watch some of the video, because we had one of our members go there, and they were actually talking about greenways that, you know, I'm not sure if anybody knows about these greenways. They're actually like those, you know, walkways where, you know, you can jog and run and, you know, everybody walks in, like, next to the river. It's all beautiful. And, you know, you go over nice metal bridges. Like, actually, I went out into the Farmington area. They're actually doing huge ones across the Farmington River. But the problem with this is it's the catch and grab, you know, that they get in. They plant a seed. Once that seed grows, before you know it, you got vines everywhere. But out in the Midwest, they're actually using something similar to the ground-based greenways, and they're putting catwalks above the, you know, the scenery, you know, like in the woods. The greenways are actually catwalks. So that's the whole real agenda. You know, you can look, but you can't touch. It's not your property.
What do you mean by a catwalk?
A literal catwalk, like a staging area above the actual area, like, you know, if like next to a river or in the woods, because not everybody has, you know, rivers or whatever, so they, you know, it's all woodsy. The catwalks go through the woods, lifted above, so you're not actually walking on the actual ground, you're walking, you know, 30 feet above, yeah, like in the canopy. And, you know, that's really what the agenda is, you know, that's what the power grab is going to be with this Agenda 21. Take all your property, take all your land, you don't own it, and then they want to condense everybody into, I'm not specifically sure on how many, but let's say like 6 different urban cities. And they want to put literally everybody in these 6 cities, and you cannot go anywhere out of those cities unless you have credentials. What are those credentials? Well, just think of our technological age and what's going on right now. We could just imagine what these credentials would need, you know, biometrics, drones flying around above our land because they're monitoring everybody. You know, if you walk into certain areas, your alarm will go off, and back in those days when you're watching the movies, you go past a certain area, your head blows off. It's going to be like that. You know, they want everybody in one area, and then think about it. If everybody's in 6 different cities in the United States and everybody's in those cities, well, just think about the mass eugenics systems they could put into play, you know, spraying chemtrails in segregated locations so they don't have to spray it all over the earth, you know, mess their plants up, you know, we all know Monsanto's has aluminum-resistant plants that they're creating. Why would they create aluminum-resistant plants? Well, because they know they're spraying aluminum to kill these plants. So, you know, they want to have these things to back themselves up. So I really hope a lot of people get to come. Like I said, it's a great session where we, you know, everybody can come and discuss this. It's going to be an open forum. So, you know, if there's anybody has questions, ask them. I suggest that the skeptics to come too. You know, they're welcome. Everybody come. It's actually at the library. So, I mean, you want to bring your kids upstairs, go read some books, you're more than welcome. So far, I'm hoping a lot of people come. It's 655 people, so.
So where is this exactly, at the public library in Waterbury?
Yes, at 267 Grand Street in Waterbury at 10:30 on Saturday morning. And the time I have it for 10 to 2. At 2 o'clock, they close the library. They close the doors. We all have to be out of there by then. When I went to Southington, it really didn't take too long, you know, hour and a half, 2 hours mm-hmm. tops. So, you know, it all depends on how engaged the people get. What I did notice out in Southington, it was more of they were pretty much speaking to the choir in Southington.
Mm-hmm.
So there wasn't many people going, hey, sir, what about this? What about that? And there was really none of that because, like I said, it was preaching to the choir. It was preaching to the people of the like-minded that understand all this. What I think they were trying to do is tell all these different groups that this is at their disposal to use. And I sure the heck did. I went there and I called Hal. I was like, let's make a date. And I told him the 28th, does that sound good? He's like, let's do it. And I was really happy to know that he was very flexible to do this kind of event. And just so everybody knows, listeners, if you all understand what this Agenda 21 is and they can't make it to get on the John Birch Society's website, or you can go on my website, contact me, and I can get a hold of Hal, and you can hold your own event. And, I don't personally know too much about the Agenda 21, so we're using the John Birch Society as our vessel. So I think that everybody should really get involved in every aspect of our lives. You know, even if you guys live in Connecticut, I've been finding out that in 1965, because I'm trying to do this in my city, actually try to get fluoride out, but in 1965, our state mandated as a law to fluoridate our water systems. And so I'm kind of combating that right now, which is going to be an uphill hill and a half. So, but what I do suggest people to do is that if they have a passion with this fluoride, to also get involved in that. And the good thing about it, in a way, is that, like I said, it's a state mandate. So everybody can work with each individual town together. It doesn't have to go by, individual towns. People from Waterbury can work with people in Naugatuck, and Naugatuck will work with people in Torrington, and we could all collaborate and use this as a force instead of individual cities, since it is a state mandate.
Yeah, before we close here tonight, I want to make sure that people know what your website is, and that's Weird.
Yes, the website.
Go ahead.
You can...
Sorry, we lost you there. What?
No, I'm right here. I've just got a little delay. The website is wearechangect.org. We also been telling people to go to John Birch Society and /, I think, Agenda 21 is where you'll be able to find the information that we're going to be viewing on that date of the 28th. You can find that on our website also. But like I said, if people want to contact us, you can go on wearechangect.org, go under contact, and click Waterbury, and the Waterbury chapter will be getting that information, and we will contact you back. But I would like to see you guys there also. I hope you will show up that date. You are invited, and like I said, you're more than welcome to bring your friends and family.
We'd like to try to come down, and we certainly urge all our listeners who are in the area to try to come. And I'm sure it'll be a very, very good presentation. John Birch guys are always well prepared, and they do a good job.
Yeah, we did an interview with him. I think I told you that with Hal. Television show we did, a two-part television show on
the
John Birch.
Yeah, we
enjoyed it. So
we look forward to seeing you, and we hope you have a great turnout on Saturday.
Yeah, and keep up with me both.
Thank you very much, guys. You guys have a great day, and like I said, you're always welcome to call. And I'll be seeing everybody on Saturday, 10:30, Waterbury, 267 Grand Street, the Silas Bronson Library. And that's it. Good night, everybody. Thank you.
Right. Thank you very much.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Anytime.
Good night.
Good night.
And that was Jim Russell from the We Are Change Connecticut group, wearechangeconnecticut.org.
So go to their website and...
Actually, it's wearechangect.org.
Go to their website.
Yeah.
And go under Waterbury chapter, and you can find out exactly, if you've forgotten where it is. It's on Grand Street and Waterbury. It's a library.
Saturday, library.
At 10:30. I guess they can hold quite a few people in that library.
Yeah. So, and we want to thank John. John, I got you back on, so thanks for being with us tonight. And hope we see you on Friday, Saturday, rather.
I'll do my best to be there.
All right, pal.
Yeah, in the meantime, see if you can find out where those strange sounds are coming from. You have a week to figure it out, John.
Yeah, maybe we can figure it out. But
I can get a good night's sleep and they don't wake me up. If I hear them outside, I go out with a big stick.
Yeah.
There you go.
Not that that'll do much good, but sick anyway. So.
Okay. Well, good night, John. Thanks for being on.
And thanks for having me.
All right.
Well,
night.
And I want to thank everybody who joined us, and I wish you a pleasant evening. And
talk to you tomorrow.
Oh, and by the way, tomorrow night we got Justine McCabe from the International Green Party Council. They'll be talking about their issue in Iran, with Iran. And hopefully that should be exciting. So have a good evening, folks, and good night. Please join us tomorrow, and of course Thursday and Friday.
No, not Friday,
but Thursday for sure. Wednesday, Thursday. and have a pleasant evening.
And good night, folks.